Welcome to Clippings, the official podcast of the Council for Nail Disorders, where Drs. April Schachtel and Catherine Stiff take a closer look at articles and clippings published on all things nail disease. Listeners can suggest articles for this podcast or topics of discussion by sending an email to kristen.cnd@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.
Hello, and welcome to episode 42 of the Clippings podcast, where we review nail papers and share them with you. I'm April Schachtel, and I'm joined by my co-host.
Hello, I'm Catherine Stiff.
The article I'm discussing today is titled Multiple Onychopapillomas and BAP1 Tumor Predisposition Syndrome. The authors are Alexandra Levinson and colleagues from the NIH, and it was published in JAMA Dermatology in May of 2024. The background is that BRCA-associated protein, also known as BAP1, tumor predisposition syndrome, is an autosomal dominant syndrome associated with cutaneous and internal cancers. The BAP1 protein is a deubiquitinating enzyme that exerts control over many cellular processes. People who have a pathogenic variant of this gene are at increased risk for melanoma, uveal melanoma, malignant mesothelioma, and renal cell carcinoma. And other cancers that have been described with this group include basal cell carcinomas, meningioma, breast cancer, bladder cancer, cholangiocarcinoma, and hepatocellular carcinoma. So you definitely want to know if someone has this. There are also benign melanocytic tumors that have been associated with the BAP1 syndrome, but prior to this, there were no other benign cutaneous manifestations that were known to be a marker of or associated with the BAP1 tumor predisposition syndrome. At the same time, onychopapilloma is a fairly common benign nail tumor that's well reported in the literature, but onychopapilloma affecting multiple digits or polydactylous onychopapilloma has not previously been reported. This study investigated the prevalence of nail findings consistent with polydactylous onychopapilloma in adult patients who had BAP1 mutations. They evaluated 47 individuals who had the syndrome and looked for nail abnormalities in clinic over a six-month period. They first found that 87%, a very high rate of these patients, had one or more nail abnormalities, including leukonychia, erythronychia, splinter hemorrhage, distal onycholysis, nail splitting, or onychoschisia. But further, they found clinical evidence of what they called onychopapillomas in 83% of the patients, which they defined as the characteristic nail findings of a focal hyperkeratotic spicule at the hyponychium, underlying a band of longitudinal leukonychia. 38 of the 39 patients had changes in multiple nails, and those changes ranged from a very thin band of leukonychia to a broad area involving the entire nail. The thumbnail was involved in 92% of the patients. Only 5 underwent a nail unit biopsy, and the biopsies did show epithelial acanthosis and papillomatosis with subungual hyperkeratosis, consistent with onychopapilloma. No atypia was seen. Ultimately, this was a very high prevalence of nail abnormalities in adult carriers of the BAP1 germline pathogenic mutation. Early detection of this cancer syndrome is critical because of the associated multiple malignancies. Therefore, the authors suggest that when changes consistent with onychopapilloma are present on multiple nails, that this could be a distinct cutaneous sign of the germline BAP1 variant. Interestingly, they also found that it was longitudinal leukonychia that was the predominant feature in their patients, as opposed to the typical longitudinal erythronychia that's more common in other cases of onychopapilloma. And I would agree that their clinical images don't look like the classic onychopapilloma with the teardrop proximal margin. The longitudinal leukonychia might be a distinctive feature of onychopapillomas seen specifically in BAP1 patients. And of course, there's a differential for polydactylous leukonychia and erythronychia, and this shouldn't be overlooked. So patients should have a careful full skin exam to look for evidence of lichen planus or tuberous sclerosis, for example. And we should also be carefully looking at the hyponychium to look for that hyperkeratotic mass that would be more likely to be present in an onychopapilloma than in lichen planus. It's unclear what risk these tumors might have for developing into squamous cell carcinoma or a malignant onychopapilloma in the setting of someone who has a BAP1 mutation. So if a patient has new or worsening pain or a rapid change in the nail appearance, then a nail unit biopsy should be performed. They did check for BAP1 expression in their nail bed biopsies, and it was not consistently lost, but they had only histologic material for five individuals. So that small amount of histologic material is one of the main limitations of this paper, as well as the fact that the patients were primarily white. However, the authors have described a novel benign nail finding that is strongly associated with the germline BAP1 variant. This does not seem to be common in the general population, although that could be studied specifically in the future. Therefore, if you identify multiple bands of Leukonychia that could be onychopapillomas, or as they call them, onychobapillomas, then that could be a signal that the patient has a BAP1 tumor syndrome and a referral for genetic counseling would be recommended.
Wow, very cool study. I mean, impressive that nearly 90% had nail abnormalities and hasn't been reported before. So I'll definitely be on the lookout for this in the future.
Yeah, I'm curious. I suspect that this was a group taking care of patients with BAP1 mutations, and people just noticed that people had nail changes more common than in other groups. Or I'd be curious to hear from them how this came about. What did you read about?
All right. So for my last ever clippings recording here, I will discuss the article, Optimizing Intralesional Triamcinolone Acetonide Treatment for Isolated Nail Psoriasis, a pilot intra-subject randomized controlled trial by doctors Ricardo, Chu, and Lipner, e-published ahead of print on March 25th, 2024, in the Archives of Dermatological Research. In this pilot, single center, open label, randomized controlled trial, patients 18 years and older with isolated nail psoriasis affecting two or more digits were enrolled. Fingernails received either 2.5, 5, 7.5, or 10 milligrams per milliliter of triamcinolone diluted with 1% lidocaine, with one fingernail per patient treated with saline. Injections were administered in three sessions at 5 to 7 week intervals, with a final visit at week 24. Nail Psoriasis Severity Index, or NAPSI, of the bed and matrix were assessed. In total, 10 patients and 73 fingernails completed the study. The reduction in NAPSI scores between the first and final visit ranged from 3 to 4 points, and the scores were reduced in all treatment groups with significant improvement over placebo. The 2.5 milligram per milliliter concentration was non-inferior to higher concentrations for nail bed and nail matrix disease. The most common adverse event was cuticle retraction, which was more common with higher concentrations of triamcinolone. So, in conclusion, lower concentrations of triamcinolone are effective for nail psoriasis and offer less side effects.
Okay, I like this. I've always done 3.3, which was not based on anything in particular, but maybe now I'll switch to 2.5.
Yeah, I often start with 5, but then if I notice some significant, nail fold erythema, or I'll lower it to 2.5, but now it's nice to have some data that we can just start with this lower concentration.
Yeah, agree. Well, as you mentioned, this is your last Clippings podcast. So, Catherine, I just want to say thank you for joining me for all these several years of monthly recordings on the Clippings podcast. I've learned a lot from you and I've had a lot of fun, and I hope our listeners have learned a lot as well. To our listeners, I want to say stay tuned for what's going to come next with the Clippings podcast. I think we have some exciting things in the works. And as always, I want to thank our listeners for their attention. Please share this podcast with your colleagues and trainees. Let us know how we're doing and which articles you'd like us to review on the show by contacting kristen.cnd@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at Nail Disorders.